Hey, God bless you guys. Good morning. I hope you're doing okay. I have been praying for you so much and thinking about you guys so much. And I know that your world is just like everybody else has been turned upside down. But I hope you're finding, you know, new and creative ways to spend time with your family and just get alone even and just think about what God might be saying to you in a time like this. And if you're married, I hope you're spending some extra time loving on your spouse and working on things. If there's been some broken relationships, I hope you're working on those as well. God's really doing some good stuff in this, and he never misses an opportunity to work in our lives or work through our lives, or maybe even both of those. So I hope you're doing that. I'm so grateful that you're joining us each weekend. Keep up the good work, man. We're running great numbers online. You guys are really committing to being with your family and sitting in front of your computer or your TV and watching this together. And our children's ministry is doing an amazing job. Lisa's leading a weekly, our daily, actually, devotion for about 40, 50 women right now. And you can get more information about that by just reaching out through email if you want to be a part of that. But thank you guys for staying connected. Our Zoom groups are going great. And we've got some fun stuff planned for May. But let me hop right in. We're going to go into our fourth and final message of our message series, A Matter of Life and Death. So I've been doing some driving in recent days and taking care of some tasks that need to be taken care of. And the way I come home into Lincoln every day, there's a big traffic sign. And you guys have seen it as well. And you can kind of catch these big changing traffic signs. You know, if there's an amber alert or if there's road construction, they're able to change those signs, but they've stayed consistent for the last several weeks. And those signs say, of course, stay home, save lives. And that's a catchy phrase. And I hope that that's what's happening. I have never yet found that saving lives is really quite that simple. It's a good simple saying, but saving lives is kind of a big deal. Saving lives, keeping living things living, takes a lot of intentionality and takes a lot of work and takes a lot of focus. And that's sort of what I want to spend the next few minutes talking about with you, is keeping living things living in our life, because we have to put things in the grave. We have to keep things in the grave. But the things that we keep alive, the things that God wants to see multiply and grow and flourish in our lives, we have to work at keeping those things alive. And that takes intentionality. And it takes focus. And it takes some work on our part. And so we're going to spend just a few minutes today learning how to keep things alive. So we've been trying to really keep these talks a little bit shorter than what we would if we were gathered together. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to hop right in. Keep living things, the important things we want alive in our life, and we want those things to continue living. To keep living things living in my life, I have to, number one, feed them generously. So we want to feed the things that we want living in our lives and keep living in our lives. We want to feed them generously. So one of the most intimidating things, at least for us, and I'm going to guess for you, if you have kids or you're going to have kids, one of the most intimidating and overwhelming things you will ever experience is the day the hospital sends you home with your firstborn child. When Lisa and I were first married, we had our son, Caleb. We had been married about 6 months, I think, and then Lisa became pregnant. So we'd only been married maybe, 15, 16 months when Caleb was born. And I remember the hospital. He was born in Springfield, Missouri, at a hospital called St. John's. And I remember feeling safe inside that hospital. But there came a day when they, and this is when they used to let you stay for a few days. Now you have the baby and they're packing you up and sending you out the same day. But you get to stay a few days. And I was at peace in that hospital. But when they packed up that little bag full of formula samples and some take-home diapers and a few things for Lisa, and they said, hey, congratulations, and they wheeled us out to the curb and said, bring your car around and we'll check your baby seat. And I was flipping out. I'm thinking, are you people absolutely insane? We don't know what we were doing. We had only been married a short time, and between the two of us, we were unable to keep any of the plants in our house alive. Now they're expecting us to keep this living child, this human being, alive in our house, and we had no idea what we were doing. And they gave us formula, and we didn't really know how to do any of that kind of stuff. And, you know, they show you a few things, but you're so overwhelmed that you don't remember any of it. I remember asking the nurse, hey, how are we going to know if he's hungry? I was so scared. I just didn't even know when we were supposed to change his diaper. I said, how are we going to know when he's hungry? And she laughed a little bit, and she goes, don't worry, he'll tell you. And sure enough, whenever Caleb was hungry, we knew it because he cried and cried and cried. We checked his diaper and we held him, and then he kept crying, and we went, you know what we haven't tried is giving him a bottle. And so then we'd feed him and he'd stop crying and he'd be at peace. And we knew from that point on, Caleb's language to get that, he would cry out and then we would feed him. Now, here's the crazy part of that. We figured out that if you feed a baby consistently, you are a long way into the process of keeping that baby alive. And listen to what scripture says in 1 Peter 2:2. In the same way that nursing infants cry for milk, you and I, must intensely crave the pure spiritual milk of God's word, God's written word, the Bible. For this milk will cause you to grow into, listen, maturity, fully nourished, and strong for life. Man, I absolutely love that scripture. If you want good things, God things, to grow and flourish in your life, you have to feed those things godly food. And that's going to produce maturity, being fully nourished, and strong for life. I've seen so many people make the decision to begin to follow Christ with their life, or increase maturity in their walk with Christ, or make their marriage a biblical, godly, strong, healthy marriage, or get a habit out of their life. They want to add health and strength to their life, and they make a very sincere decision, and then guess what? They don't feed the decision. A month later, they're back to doing what they were doing before. It's almost like bringing a baby home and going, yay, we're so excited for this baby, and then just sitting there and expecting the baby to feed itself, grow itself, nourish itself, and take care of itself, and it just doesn't happen. Here's what John 6:51 says. These are Jesus' own words. I alone am this living bread that has come to you from heaven. Eat this bread and you will live forever. Consume the goodness of Christ and you will live forever. The living bread I give you is my body, which I will offer as a sacrifice so that all may live. We talked about Jesus giving his life on the cross and then being resurrected from the grave. And Jesus says, you consume me. And the Bible calls him the living word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's Jesus. Jesus is the living word. And the Bible says when we consume him, when we bring in the character and the mind and the heart and the behavior and the attitude of Jesus Christ and implement his words into our life, that we bring life into ourselves. Number two is this. To keep living things living in my life, I have to, number two, man, I'm liking this message. I hope you guys are too. I have to, number two, love them sacrificially. Keep living things in my life living, I have to love them sacrificially. So many of you know that have children that feeding them sort of the minimal responsibility. A good parent doesn't just feed their child only and then sort of detach from them. You learn very early on when you have a child that your life will never, never. And I know those of you who are just married or single, you don't have kids, that you've heard this a billion times. You'll never know what it's like to have kids until you have kids. But I'm telling you, it's absolutely true. Because when you have kids, your life changes forever. Having kids is not good for someone who is really, really selfish, if you intend to stay selfish. Because when you have kids, you begin to live a life of sacrifice. You will literally sacrifice everything you've ever known, your social life, your sleep, your money, everything you valued and cared about. You're going to have to give some of that up, if not much of it up, in order to care for your child. And you do it willingly because, here, listen to me, because you love your child. And you want to give up everything you have to. My kids have had in their mouth enough money that we paid for braces. Lisa and I could have bought a great brand new car for that. But guess what? We wanted our kids to have the advantage of having a nice smile. And so we willingly gave that up. And you know that you spend your entire lifetime sacrificing so that you can give good things to your kids and keep them healthy and prospering. Listen to what Romans 12:1 says. Brothers and sisters, God has shown you his mercy. So I'm asking you, so God gave you mercy. He gave you life. So I'm asking you to offer up your bodies, offer up all your desires, offer up everything that you are to him while you're still living. Offer up your days, offer up your marriage, offer up your kids, offer up your work, offer up your money, offer up everything that you are while you're still living. Your bodies, your life is a holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. And when you offer your bodies to God, you're worshiping him in the right way. Listen, think of the good things that God wants to do in your life and through your life, new habits, new disciplines, things that you know lead you to God's highest and best for your life. Think of them as children. And you say, I have to give up these things in order to make those things prosper and be strong in my life. Do that gladly and willingly. You can't improve your life without giving up something else. You have to let go of things. And that's the sacrifice in order to get better things. Third and finally is this. To keep living things living in my life, I have to protect them violently. Now, I was really struggling with whether I should use that word or not. Because most of us find violence ugly and we don't like the word violence. And we especially don't like seeing ourselves as violent people or thinking that violence is an attribute that we would wear proudly. But in reality, now hear me out, in reality, most of us also haven't been put in the kind of situation that we've had to act violently. Recently, you may or may not have run across this in the news, as sort of the pandemic spread and all the fear associated with the pandemic, the same fear that motivated people to go out and buy toilet paper in hordes, as if, anyway, I'm not sure why people bought toilet paper, and then bought water, as if they were going to shut off our water. That kind of fear, right, motivated people to go do a lot of things, and because they believed certain things would happen as a result of all this. Well, the sale of first-time gun buyers, gun sales to first-time gun buyers skyrocketed in the hundreds of percent. And people going out because in their minds, they believed that there might be an occasion because of what's happening that they might be called upon to defend their home against burglars or home invasion or something in which somebody would enact violence against them and they would have to defend themselves violently. You see, the reality is we won't be a violent person until we're called upon to use violence. And we don't want to think about that. We don't really want to kind of imagine that, but I want you to hear this, and you may never be burglarized, and you may never have a home invasion, you may never have anyone rob you, but I want you to hear this. You have a very real enemy, a very powerful enemy, who wants to steal everything you own, steal everything you care about, destroy your life, and kill everything inside of you, and kill every good thing around you. That enemy is extremely real and extremely powerful, and it's no mistake that God uses the imagery and the language of war and violence in order to portray to us how important and urgent it is for us to be ready to defend ourselves violently against the attacks of the enemy, because the good things, the good children you're raising, these new habits and these disciplines and the godliness that you want to see in your life, the disciplines of God's highest and best, you see, the enemy wants to destroy those things. He wants to annihilate those things, and he'll use any means necessary to do it. But listen to what the Bible says right here. Put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you'll be protected. So armor is military, right? You'll be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they're a powerful class of demon gods, lowercase g. It doesn't mean God as an equal with God. It means things that establish itself to fight against God. And evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor of God that that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Put on truth as a belt to strengthen, put on truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as the protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert, then you'll always be ready to share in the blessings of peace. Listen, in every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you. If this were in today's context, it would say the tracer bullets that are shooting at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies, and take the mighty razor sharp Spirit word, the word of God, spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede from every form of prayer at all times. Pray the blessings of God upon all his believers. Listen, that entire passage is filled with imagery of war and fights and battles and attacks. And God wants us to see that the enemy is attacking violently. And if you care, just like if somebody were attacking your child, you would do everything within you. You'd use all the strength and anything at your disposal to defend your child and to attack the attacker. And I'm telling you, the enemy wants to destroy you, especially in moments like this, through depression, through anger, through hate, through division, through separation from relationship. The enemy is going to attack you. You've got to passionately defend your mind, your heart, your family from the enemy. God wants life for you. And God's given you everything you need. And I want you to invest in the good things that God's doing in your life, just like you would invest in the life and the health and the prosperity of your own children. Do that for the good things that God is creating in you and through you, especially in this really unique time. Can I pray for you guys and we'll end right now? Father, thank you so much for people who are investing in their health by being in moments like this, who are investing in their relationships by being in Zoom groups, who are in the women's Bible study, who are connecting with friendships and reaching out. This season will not defeat us, God, but it will enable us to be more creative, to be more passionate, to be more inventive, and not only growing in our own faith, but spreading our faith like a contagion, like an infection of itself. We spread our faith and our hope through every means necessary. And God, we invest in the good things you're doing in us like we invest in the lives of our own kids. And we thank you for it in advance. As if it's already happened in our lives, we give you praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you guys. Proud of you. Stay connected. Let us know if you need us. We are praying for you and we're here for you. God bless you.